The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Esaf
and Doreen Ampofun.
In the headlines, scores of travelers left stranded 24 hours after closure of Adome Bridge for 2 years repair works. Government requests proper monitoring of aid flows to UN agencies in the country. Parliament still awaits details from affected residents in recent TDC demolition exercise. Police investigate weekend lynching of 25-year-old residents of Abuabo, suburb of Tamale. Ukraine crisis further strains U.S.-Russian relations. Aviation experts remain baffled 4 days after unexplained disappearance of Malaysian plane with 239 passengers. And New Zealand contemplates changing national flag. The news in detail. The Ministry of Roads and Highways is to review the operational hours of its newly inaugurated ferries at Sinchi and Old Akrade. The ferries were built to carry passengers and vehicles across the Volta Lake following the closure of the Adome Bridge at Akinpoku. The initial working hours for the ferries is from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. each day. But on the first day of work yesterday, a number of travelers and vehicles got stranded at Akinpoku as they could not be ferried before 6 p.m. Roads and Highways Minister Alhaji Aminu Suleimani tells Radio Ghana that because these are new ferries, they cannot work beyond 6 p.m., but the working hours will eventually be reviewed.
Apparently, I think people didn't get the information that the ferry was going to stop operating at 6 p.m. So they got there after that. I think it was, they didn't get that information. This is also in the water body, and the provision was made to close at 6 p.m. It's not possible to start operating the ferry after that, because no provision was made, probably for fuel and other things. So when we were commissioning the ferry, that issue came out. I said, well, we'll operate it for a few days and see whether we should extend the time beyond it. But for now, for obvious reasons, these are just new boats that have been assembled and being operated. You don't try them at a certain hour because you don't know what will happen. So the advertisement was made and we made that one clear. But I think that people thought that they could still cross as a stick.
Any review for the operation time for the pumping?
Certainly there will be review. Looking at the, we knew exactly the president himself was worried about the problems that would have come up there. When I informed that we're going to close the ferry, he was not very convinced that the ferry should be able to cope with the traffic. But I said we had no choice because the contractors have been on ground for about a year and the works were not commencing, and in contractual agreement, we are supposed to pay about €270,000 for contractors for staying on ground without executing the work. Any further delays will cost the nation money while something is going on, so we have to close the road.
Roads and Highways Minister Alhaji Aminu Suleimani.
Member of the DCE First Soldierman Thomas Nyakwampim has been speaking to Radio Ghana about the closure of the Adome Bridge. He said the people have been sensitized to the closure. He spoke to Bubu Klinugu.
We have closed the bridge. So now every motorist will have to use the several alternative routes that have been created. The prime one is the ferry at Senji. They are two beautiful big ferries that will take the vehicles across. To both ends of the, both sides of the Volta.
What is the reaction of the public to the closure of the bridge? How are they taking it?
Well, the minds of the people had been prepared for a long time, so it is a moment that we've been expecting. So it's not a surprise at all to anybody. And
earlier you were saying something about alternative routes. So people who do not want to use the ferries, what other routes can they use?
There is a very long route through Sogakope, Adidome, Volta region. You have to go through to Ho and then come back through Esikuma to wherever you want to go. But this is the shortest distance so far. So if you want to cross with a ferry, you come through St. Jean Cross. If you are not driving and you want to cross, we have also created a parking space very close to the bridge where Trotro and taxis will be allowed to drop passengers. And we have some speed boats that will take the passengers across within 2 minutes to the other side of the road. There will be another station on the other side to carry the passengers away. So if you are not crossing with a vehicle, you can actually come to Akinpoku near the bridge and then get down, join a boat, cross, and that is actually very quick.
Do you have idea about the cost? How much is going to cost you to use the speedboat?
It is just one city.
But if you have to use the pontoon with your vehicle, it ranges from 10 cities to 20 cities.
That is correct.
Is that not too expensive for the people?
For saloon cars, I understand it's about 3 cities, but for a mini van, 10 cities, Well, it is quite high, but the highways explains that they need to be able to run it. The operational cost is what was considered in arriving at this figure. But actually, passengers are not going to be charged. It is only the vehicles that are going to pay.
No, but the issue is if you're using a passenger car, the drivers will be forced to increase their transport fares if they have to pay around 15 cedis or 12 cedis to use a pontoon.
Yes, there is no doubt about that. I know the drivers will certainly do that.
That was DC for Sojaman Thomas Nyaku Ampin.
Meanwhile, traders and other business operators in and around Akimpuku have expressed mixed feelings about the closure of the Adome Bridge. According to them, the closure will greatly affect their business.
They say, I'm on Saturday. They say, you have to be in India. You better be in India. You better be in India. You better be in India. They say, I'm going to be in India. They say,
It's good they want to spread it, but we, the people here, seem to accept it on the financial basis because, this is a market area or where we sell. People pass here up and down and then they buy from us. But now, markets and things are going to be, low here. So it's a problem to the people around this area. At the moment, there's nothing we can do. But what we are affected is the taxes, internal revenue, and the district assembly taxes that will be, putting on us. Where can we get those money to pay them?
Oh, my baby, say, you're not baby, you're not what to do, you know. I'm going to lose that. 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 I'm going to lose that.
I'm traders at Akimpuku.
Meanwhile, there was confusion over a 2 Ghana Cedi parking fee. According to reports, the parking is being operated by a private developer. The minister is therefore asking drivers to remain in traffic to avoid paying for traffic. He said the ministry has no control over that parking place. Residents of Ajay Kojuru's houses were demolished by the Tema Development Corporation, TDC, are yet to present to Parliament the details on the number of people who were affected by the action. This came to light when the Works and Housing Committee of Parliament paid a familiarization visit to the area. The committee's initial plans to visit the area last month had to be cancelled due to security concerns, a report by Augustus Akwi.
Residents of Ajay Kojo in the Greater Accra region woke up on the morning of 21st January this year to a demolition by the TDC as the corporation claimed the people had encroached on their land. During the visit by the MPs, some of the residents claimed the TDC are bent on covering up the exact number of buildings they pulled down. A member of the committee, Joseph Oseus, who advised the affected residents to, as a matter of urgency, collate their building particulars in order to present a stronger case.
We are gathering the evidence. If we need to bring a surveyor to come and measure, he will measure.
But you have to tell me how many houses are there.
Okay, okay.
They say 65.
Okay.
You say 500.
Okay.
Who are they? Who are the landlords?
Okay.
You list what's against the work.
The president of the residents of Solomon City, a suburb of Ajay Kojo, Obed Asiedu, told Radio Ghana that the TDC has taken the people for granted for too long. He said compensation meant for about 60 residents whose houses were pulled down to make way for a road construction 3 years ago also had issues.
We still need our land. We need a place where they have demolished. If there's any compensation, they should compensate us. They were constructing the road. They demolished about 68 buildings on that road. So they said they are coming to build another house for those people whom they have affected. And now you are building only 60 rooms for them. So what are the rest? What are they going to say? Now this is the building. Somebody is having 3-bedroom, 4-bedroom self-contained over there, and you are coming to build this house for the person. You can even measure the room. The land is not belong to them. This land is not belong. The case is at court now. That is that they cannot complete this building. The owner of this land, they come and took the land from the person just like that.
A Radio Ghana technician who was affected by the demolition could not contain his emotions.
Ghana, because of the demolition, I can't leave my house and come to work. So I have to be around so that when the time the people come, I can also make noise, the people will hear my voice. Right now, you see, a lot of houses have been collapsed. They couldn't come with any money. Our sisters are crying. We sleep outside. We sleep outside. All the things back. And now we are sleeping in empty necks on the bed.
The chairman of the Works and Housing Committee of Parliament, David Tete, Esumeng appeal to NADMO to continue assisting the residents since their predicament is pathetic.
We saw the situation, which is quite alarming. Well, we've got all the documents of TDC, so that is in our possession, and we are expecting DS as well, so we can draw a conclusion. But I think that what we resolve there is not the best. Human-wise, I think it's not good for us. I think we still want to encourage NADMO to continue to assist them.
That was Chairman of the Western House and Committee of Parliament, David Tete Esumeng, and then that report by Augustus Akwi.
The Executive Director of the African Parliamentary Network Against Corruption, APNAC, Daniel Batidam, says the statement by MP for Nadoli Khalil Albambagwin is an open secret. Therefore, people should not pretend it is news to them. According to him, Mr. Bagwin has been in Parliament for some time and is not ignorant of the statements he is alleged to have made. He was alleged to have made the comments suggesting that MPs take bribes before carrying out their lawmaking functions. Mr. Batidam challenged the media not to exaggerate the whole issue, but rather support systems in the country to deal with corruption. Mr. Batidam spoke to Agatha Samoa.
You guys in the media have to help our people to understand the issues better. And sometimes when people say things like what Bagwin said, I think this thing is just being blown out of proportion. What Bagwin says is common knowledge to everybody who has been dealing with Parliament or indeed any other institution like this. There is nothing he said. He didn't make an allegation, by the way. He was saying what I call inconvenient truths. If I were to put away my professional position with MPs and Parliament and speak about the things I know, you would not say that Bagwin is making an allegation. This is not a matter for us to be spending our time on. Are you saying that the people in Parliament are holy people? All the corruption that we are talking about, you mean members of Parliament are not part of it?
But well, some of the participants who have dealt with some of the country's legislators had alleged that they had paid bribes to MPs to carry out their lawmaking functions.
Go to the public services, go and ask when budgets are read. After that, what happens before different ministries, departments and agencies get their money? Go and ask them before you get the committee to sit down and deal with your matter. If you don't motivate them, they won't go. What is all this noise we are making about a fact that is known? Bagwin has been in Parliament from 1993, more than 20 years now. You think he doesn't know what he's talking about? If we don't put it out and discuss it, we cannot solve it. Somebody made an allegation, specific allegation, mentioned figures, and said members of Parliament were paid. Right. They got up and made noise all over the place. And even punished him by putting him at the back bench. I think he's no longer a member of the Parliament. And made claims that they are going to send him to court. Did they go? Did they go? Why didn't they go to court? Because they knew that they can't get their way out of court. Let's take advantage of the information put out by Honorable Bagwin and have a serious discussion about what needs to be done to fix our systems.
Executive Director of the African Parliamentary Network Against Corruption, Daniel Batidam.
The Judgment Debt Commission will resume public sittings next Monday. The commission will now sit in the former offices of the Constitution Review Commission at Cantonments opposite the American Embassy roundabout. This is due to the destruction of its offices at the old Parliament House by fire last year. The commission reminds the public that public sittings will be held at 10 a.m. each day and closed at 4 p.m. on Mondays, Tuesdays and Wednesdays. The commission may, however, sit on Thursdays to hasten its work. Members of the public who wish to testify or volunteer information are first to report at the commission's office to give their statement. The commission will then schedule a date for them to give evidence. All those who intend to testify or volunteer information to the commission but are unable to be present in person are requested to submit memoranda to the commission. All such memoranda will be treated confidentially. The commission assures persons who may testify or assist the commission in its work that their identities will be protected and their safety guaranteed.
The Omankrahin of the Nkusukun traditional area in the central region, Anafina Danji, is appealing to the Regional House of Chiefs to see to the early and amicable settlement of a misunderstanding over a successor to the late Omankrahin of the area, Anaokefie Sando. According to him, after the demise of the Omankrahin, the Ibusiapini of the area acted accordingly to prepare a successor. However, a group from the same royal house raised objection to the one chosen. This, he said, has since made it difficult for the new Omankrahin to perform. He says the earlier the issue is resolved, the better it will be for the development of the area. Nafna Danchu stressed that there cannot be development without units and appealed without unity and pleaded with both sides to soften their stand to give peace a chance. He said the best tribute for the memory of the late Omanhin is to live in peace and amicably support the new Omanhin.
The Minister of Finance, Tete, says there is the need to integrate all UN agencies in the country in order to improve aid flows for better results. Mr. Tete said this at the first interministerial meeting between UN agencies and government in Accra, dubbed delivering as one. He said a number of mechanisms have been developed to fast-track implementation of policies. Here's a report by Antoinette Abba and Olivia Usu.
The interministerial meeting is to deliver a more coherent and effective development assistance to program countries. It is part of ongoing effort towards reforming the UN system initiated by the former UN Secretary General Kofi Annan in 2006. Delivering as one was piloted in 8 countries, 4 of which are in Africa. Ghana joined in 2013 and has since made progress in bringing the UN systems together. The program will, among other things, harmonize key elements of human resource, accelerate the move to have one UN house, as well as a common budget to speed up development. Mr. Tete said the UN has a role to play in moving the country forward from a lower middle income to a middle income status. He called on the meeting to discuss efficient ways to make the UN agencies more relevant to the country's development agenda.
The UN is at the forefront of both economic development and development on the soft side of every government, you know, ambition to see the welfare of its people. What we are doing is about integrated development, and it's only through integrated development that we can achieve the twin goals of developing fast, but not leaving a significant section of the population also behind. We can give us all the opportunity to discuss and deliberate on how efficiently to integrate all work streams at the UN activities in order to deliver more coherent and effective development assistance to the country.
The UN resident coordinator, Ruby Sandus Rojon, said bringing together all the UN agencies will engender a strong advantage of developing the various sectors.
The report was filed by Antoinette Abba and Olivia Usu.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories: scores of travelers left stranded 24 hours after closure of Adome Bridge for 2 years repair works. Parliament still awaits details from affected residents in recent TDC demolition exercise. Government requests proper monitoring of aid flows to UN agencies in the country. Police investigate weekend lynching of 25-year-old resident of Abuabo, suburb of Tamale. Ukraine crisis further strains US-Russian relations. Aviation experts remain baffled 4 days after unexplained disappearance of Malaysian plane with 239 passengers. And New Zealand contemplates changing national flag.
The police in Tamale are appealing for information which will lead to the arrest of suspects behind the lynching of a 25-year-old Mustafa Abdul Rashid at Abuabu suburb of Tamale. Mustafa Rashid was allegedly lynched in reprisal attacks. ASP Ebenezer Tete is the public relations officer of the Northern Regional Police Command.
This incident happened at the Timber Market about 300 meters away from the Abuabu Forest. So far, information on that is very sketchy. We are told it was a mob action. So we just take the body to the morgue. We have also picked some bits and pieces of information on the ground. And we are going to work on this bits and pieces of information.
ASP2 death within a very short period in Tamale is certainly not good news for everybody. What is the police doing?
The police work based on information that we receive. Intelligence information. This particular person who was shot at on Saturday, the information surrounding his death is not forthcoming. Nobody is willing to provide any vital information to the police. The police is now doing its own investigation. And you know, such investigation, you cannot quickly arrive at a conclusion. So we were very, very happy earlier this afternoon when we saw a copy of a press conference read by this group that they were providing certain names and that if the police were not able to arrest this person, they were going trying to make Tamale ungovernable. And we thought that this is a very important information that they can share with the police without necessarily giving it the height that they gave, rather giving such information to the media instead of the police. So that is where we have gotten to. And we think that case of this nature, the police should be the first port of call. And if such information is given to the police and the police does nothing about it, then that's when you can go to the media and do what they are doing.
That was the public relations officer of the Northern Regional Police Command, ASP Ebenezer Tete.
The Kofodria police have arrested 7 people suspected to be breaking into innocent people's homes to make away with their belongings. The suspects, who pretend to be artisans in carpentry, remove the roofing sheets of houses and jump into their rooms to steal unspecified number of items such as clothes, mobile phones and flat-screen television sets. The arrested suspects are Kwabna Dakon, a 19-year-old trotro mate popularly called Omutu, Francis Mensah, a trader called Guy Guy, Peter Nuto, an apprentice, and Foster Kwamedu, a footballer. The rest are Kwame Mensah, Audu Amidu, and Adamu Adamu. Narrating the incident to newsmen in Kofodria, the Regional Public Relations Officer of the Ghana Police Service, ASP Yawanketia Yeboa, said on Tuesday, 4th March at about 11 a.m., Francis Mensah took advantage of the absence of a resident and scaled over the wall of that house, destroyed a section of the roof, and jumped into a room. ASP Yawanketia Yeboa said Mensah ransacked the rooms of the house and made away with items valued at 20,600 Ghana cedis. They include 26 pieces of assorted wax prints, gold watches and assorted jewelries. Upon investigation, the accused admitted that he stole the items and gave some to Kwame Mensah to sell for him and later mentioned the names of other suspects. ASP Nketiah Yeboa disclosed that the suspects have robbed 20 houses at Galloway, Abjeso, Two Streams, Old Estate, Achampon and Kasajan areas. He said the police will deal drastically with the syndicate and appeal to the public not to hesitate to divulge information to the security agencies to bring the perpetrators to book.
A 24-year-old trader, Muta Sada, has been jailed 30 years for robbery. Muta and his accomplice, Abdul Manuf Yusuf, who is deceased, stormed a pub at Dansoman in Accra with a pistol and robbed customers of their personal belongings. According to the prosecution, in July 2012, some old students of Suedu Senior High School were holding a meeting at the pub when the robbers arrived at the venue on an unregistered motorbike. They threatened to shoot anyone who failed to surrender their belongings. They took mobile phones, laptops, cash, cameras, and other items from the victims. In attempts to escape the robbery, they were hit by a vehicle and sustained injuries. They were then arrested and sent to the police hospital for treatment. However, Abdul's condition deteriorated and he died a week later.
The new Ashanti Regional Police Commander, DCOP Nathan Kofi Buache, has outlined his mission in the Ashanti region, which is not only to mount a sustained aggressive onslaught against crime and criminals, but also to build a new positive image for the police service in the region. Already, some modest successes have been achieved, as a special operation has led to the arrest of about 10 suspected criminals from various locations and are being processed for prosecution at the law courts. In his maiden interaction with media practitioners at the regional police headquarters in Kumasi, DCOP Kofi Buache, who took over from DCOP Augustine Jenin as the regional commander nearly a month ago, declared 2 suspected criminals wanted and urged them to surrender to the police in their own interest or the police will pursue them to their eventual capture. Correspondent Nicholas Osewusu was there and has filed this report.
The 2 wanted suspects are Baba Musa and Azuri, who are said to be connected with various crimes, including the recent suspected murder of a pregnant woman in Kumasi. DCOP Kofi Buachi, who identified a number of areas, particularly in Kumasi, known to be haven for criminals, to indicate his knowledge of the terrain, warned that no effort will be spared in the bid to destroy all hideouts of criminals, adding that nobody is bigger than the law or powerful than the police. He said the war against crime and criminals will be unabated, legitimate and fearless, but without any ill will or favoritism, and challenged the residents and the media to trust and cooperate with the police in this direction. Turning his attention to the police in the region, the new regional police commander noted that part of his mission is to sensitize the police command by instilling discipline and positive attitudes across the ranks to create a positive image about the service. to be able to achieve that, DCOP Kofi Boakye has asked the personnel in the Motor Traffic and Transport Department to stop the motor checks, which has been abused for the personal gains of some of the personnel. They are now to go on public education to reduce disregard for the road traffic laws to effect attitudinal change among motorists.
Now the news desk report.
U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry says a meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin will not happen until Moscow engages with U.S. proposals to tackle the crisis in Ukraine. Mr. Kerry told his Russian counterpart Sergei Lavrov that Moscow's military intervention in Crimea has made negotiations extremely difficult. U.S. officials say there will be little to talk about if the referendum on Crimea's future goes ahead.
The governor of the Bank of England, Mark Carney, is to be quizzed by British MPs over claims that some bank officials knew about alleged foreign exchange rate fixing. He will also be questioned about the abandonment of his flagship forward guidance policy on interest rates, as well as Scottish independence. Mr. Carney's appearance before the Treasury Select Committee comes a week after minutes of meetings emerged suggesting bank officials were aware of rigging attempts as early as 2006.
The search for the missing Malaysia Airlines passenger plane has been widened amid growing frustration among relatives of those missing. Malaysian authorities say they have doubled the search area as rescue teams from several countries comb the seas for signs of the plane. China has deployed about 10 satellites to assist in the search. Beijing-bound flight vanished on Saturday shortly after it left Kuala Lumpur. There were 239 people on board.
New Zealand is to hold a referendum on whether to change its national flag. Prime Minister John Key, who announced this, said the vote would be held within 3 years. The current flag shows the Southern Cross constellation and includes the Union Jack, the UK's national flag, in one corner. Mr. Key said the flag represents a period of history from which New Zealand had moved on. In a speech, Prime Minister Key said the design of the New Zealand flag symbolizes the colonial and post-colonial era whose time has passed.
Now to end the news, a look at another main story. Scores of travelers have been left stranded 24 hours after the close of the Adome Bridge for 2 years repair works. Meanwhile, the Minister of Roads and Highways is to review the operational hours of 5 newly inaugurated ferries at Sinchi and Old Akrade. Parliament is still awaiting the details from affected residents in the recent TDC demolition exercise, and police in Tamale are investigating this weekend's lynching of a 25-year-old resident of Abu Abu. The news was presented by Darina Mpofu
and Samuel Essa in Accra.